Whoa, 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 welcome back. It's your boys, Ken and Ollie here. We're going to give you our rundown of the top 10 pitchers in the American League for 2024. This is the second half of our annual pitcher rankings. We did the NL last week, and we got delayed doing the AL a little bit because we were just so concerned about getting our picks right this year. Isn't that right?
That is indeed correct. Although I did want to ask you a question. We're a week into the season, or a week and a half into the season. There are names that have come up, some young, hard-throwing pitchers that have come up that obviously I don't think we would have both had in our lists preseason, and there's a chance we might want to, you know, squeeze them in. But, you know, I haven't really made changes yet, and I want to know if you are where you stand on a week into the season, because we've always done this preseason, and that's why we've always gotten names so far off. You get names out of nowhere that start throwing absolute gas. Where do you stand on making changes?
Well, with respect to Mr. Garrett Crochet, I didn't make many changes to my list either because it seemed unfair to adjust my preseason picks based on the first 10 games of the season. So I didn't really change very much. The important names are still the same as they were. So,
all right, fair enough, yeah. Because I just added Garrett Crochet to my honorable mentions just to mention his name.
If you did, I don't think it violates the rules. You know, it's still a pitcher you're allowed to name.
Right.
So if you put in Garrett Crochet, I won't vilify you for that. He's been very good.
Okay.
And
no, I don't think he would have made it either way.
I did make one change, but it was not related to what's happened in the season. It was just I realized it made more sense.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
all right.
Sense. So
should we get started? Or do you have any thoughts on the first week and a half of the season?
Oh, my gosh. I am so stoked for the season, man. This has been such probably the hottest, most fiery first 10 games you could hope for. Like, baseball has been absolutely firing on all cylinders for the past week.
We got two pretty good teams.
Incredible. Incredible, dude.
Tied atop the AL East.
Yeah, and we've had, five fights and a bunch of ejections and no hitter out of nowhere. Tons of amazing pitching performances, which we love. A lot of young studs dealing. A lot of walk-offs, a lot of extra inning games. And like Ken said, our two teams, Sox and Yanks, are right now knotted atop the division at 6-2, which is really exciting. Really exciting. Because we could be looking at another three-team race in the AL East where we all get to the playoffs and have a nice wild card matchup. I know I'm speaking ahead of myself, but yeah, man. I mean, Soto's on the Yankees. They look refreshed. Stroman, probably the best signing of all time, I would say. I know you just traded for Stroman in your fantasy team, isn't that right?
I did. So this is an interesting thing. So you've been, this is a way to transition us into a perfect topic. So me as a Yankee fan, you know, obviously I support my Yankee players. You, a Red Sox fan, before the season, what do you look forward to? I'll either Red Sox suck, blah, blah, blah. Me and Isaac got on him. He said, you know, we got Brian Bello, Cy Young candidate, blah, 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 blah. And so we have a fantasy league, and I had Brian Bello on my team, and my friend Linus had Marcus Stroman on it. I was like, match made in heaven. Let's make this happen. I'll give you Bello. You give me Stroman. I add some extra in there, like a lottery ticket, so you get a little more, and let's make this happen. Linus consults my friend Ollie over here and says, what do you think about Bello for Stroman? Ollie comes out and he says, oh, Stroman's so much better than Bello. Those two things just do not match. There's some disconnect.
No, I didn't say
there's something
terms.
That's not connected here because Ollie, of course, loves Bello, Cy Young candidate, all passionate, rah, rah, rah. But then when it comes to me making a trade for Marcus Stroman's better than Bello. Wait a minute. Yankees three starter, who we signed for 2 years, 37 mil, is better than your young right-handed arm?
It was about...
Talk to me.
Audience, you may not know the people involved here, but our friend Linus, it was about what he needed on his team at the time. I was catering to what he needed and what trade would work for him. And that's what I was advising him not to trade Stroman because of how thin his quality start regimen was at the moment. So I said, be very careful. I didn't say don't do it. I said, be very careful. Maybe try to squeeze Ken for a couple more pieces, which he successfully did. And he got more pieces from you. He got Stone, Bello, and DeGrom, I believe.
Yes.
So, as a negotiation,
Bello or Stroman, who's a better pitcher at the moment?
Now that's an unfair question. And
why? How is that an unfair question?
It's not related. I'll answer. I would say Stroman is the more dependable pitcher. Bayo is the more talented pitcher.
So you're saying Bayo has a higher upside. Stroman has a higher floor. But you know what's interesting?
Good job.
I did some research when I was doing this trade. Bayo and Stroman, guess how many quality starts they had last year?
Oh, I think Stroman probably had about 15 and Bayo had like 13.
They both had 15. That's a really good guess, Ellie. But, you know, that's something interesting I found. I know Stroman missed
Bayo
some time.
Bayo got to 15. Nice.
Bayo got to 15 quality starts, which is interesting.
Pretty impressive. Didn't even make 30 starts.
Red Sox rotation looking sharp to start the season. I mean, what's happening?
Man. I know. This is wild.
Rainy with a chance of meatballs type stuff.
Eight Sox starters, all of them dealing. You know, everybody's going five innings, keeping the runs down. Nick Pivetta dealing. Tanner Houck dealing. Cutter Crawford looking okay. Bayo's the only one that's been giving up runs so far, which is crazy because I consider him to be the top pitcher in that staff. But that'll even out soon enough. Yeah, and this, I mean, beating the Angels, sweeping the Athletics is easy. We're going to see what happens when the schedule gets tough, when we start to face the Orioles and have to face the you know, the Rays and the Jays and the tougher teams. We'll see what happens, and that's going to be the test of the season for the Sox. In this case, will be how they perform in those stretches against the tough AL East teams.
Story started off so hot, and my prayers go out to him, and I hope his shoulder is fine because I actually enjoy watching Story play a little bit, and that was brutal.
I know. And what's going on with your boy Nestor Cortez?
Nestor, man, my guy hasn't looked sharp at all. But, you know, there is a little glimpse of hope. I know if Isaac was on here, he'd be just absolutely, you know, hammering down on Nestor. He doesn't like what he sees. But I do see a glimpse of hope. My optimistic ass sees a little bit here. So first innings in two starts this year, he's given up like 8 combined runs. Or he has like an ERA of like an 8. And innings after the first inning, he's given up like 1 run in a total of like 7-8 innings. So, you know, he's coming out the gates, maybe not exactly where he needs to be. There's could be adjustments made in the first inning. Maybe his sequencing is off. Maybe his stuff is not, you know, warmed up all the way to his peak performance level. And I don't know. He does need to pitch better in order for this Yankee team to succeed. But
do you think the cutter is there?
It's tough because we haven't seen a fully, absolutely revved up engine Nestor Cortez all-star level pitcher since 2022, mid-year 2022. So it's been a year and a half, and I think Yankee fans are starting to wonder if that guy is still there and if that is in the past. I know it's not going to be another all-star, but we just need, you know, a solid, a 3.8 to a 4.2 ERA guy who can go 5-6 innings and give a team a chance to win. We're not getting that right now. Hopefully he turns around.
Well, all of our prayers go out to the shoulder of Trevor Story and the arm of Nestor Cortez. Yeah, let's go ahead and move on to our list now. We've dilly-dallied long enough. We're doing our top 10 pitchers for 2024 in the American League. And remember, we're ranking them based on what we imagine their final war will be, their final wins above replacement. So it's not an arbitrary throwing out of names. This is a list based on our projections that we make for each player. And we rank them based on our projections for war. And that's how we compare at the end of the year who is more correct. So in the past, we've been right about different things, and we've had some years where he was better, some years where I was better predicting what it would be like. But last year, we both did poorly in predicting the AL starting pitchers, their top 10. So we're going to do better this year. We're going to come back. We've been thoughtful. We've got a list of strong names. And I'll start us off here with my number 10 pick for the AL. And this is a guy who we've seen for many years now. This is a guy who's high on talent, but sometimes he's cracked the top 10 list on a couple occasions, and other times seems to fall just outside of that top 10. He has injury issues from time to time with his shoulder, but he's still a stud, some of the best stuff in the league. I'm going with Luis Castillo of the Mariners. That's the best rotation in the AL, and I see him easily as could get that number 10 spot. Could be an easily 3-4 war pitcher, 200K candidate, if he can stay healthy and get it done over a full season.
Wow, wait, hold on. I'm surprised at how low you have him, considering top 5 Cy Young candidate last year. He throws 30 to 33 starts every year. He's a solid pitcher.
Well, yeah, but
okay. You got other arms above him.
It's a thing about what else is around him, and it's really hard for pitchers to repeat top five back to back. Not so hard to repeat top 10 back to back. That's my logic.
Fair enough. All right, I'm going to a pitcher for my 10th spot that I reluctantly go to because this is a guy that I've not been so high on in the past, but I feel like this is a year that I have to put him somewhere in the list to satisfy the ollies of the world. And this guy is from the Detroit Tigers, a hard-throwing lefty, Tarik Skubal. Now, I know you have him, I assume you have him much higher on the list than I do, but I just want you to acknowledge and clap for me a little bit here that I even have him on the list because this is a guy that I'm just not a huge fan of. I've seen him in the past where I've seen him walk too many batters, give up a lot of home runs early in his career. I do realize now he's a much better pitcher. He's throwing like 99 a hundo. I thought he was like a 95, 96. He's getting gross. And I do have to recognize the stuff he has. But let's see if he can put it together for a full year because I don't think we've seen that yet. And that's why I'm keeping it in a nice 10 spot.
And you're talking about him as if you're somehow reluctant to put him in this place. And how can you be reluctant based on what you've seen? What reluctance could justify that?
It's the fact that this man is career high in starts. Okay, 29 starts in 2021, 4.34 ERA. Ever since he's become this pitcher we've seen, I don't think he's posted a full year. Nothing over 15 starts. Nothing over 20 starts. So I don't know if I'm seeing a guy who's consistently going to pitch every 5 days, deep into games. Like, he's a very shiny new toy. Like, everyone's going to flock to him because, you know, we're seeing a nice, exciting young Tigers team, and you got an ace at the top who throws 100. But I don't know. I don't have the confidence in him to go out there and throw 200 innings like a Gerrit Cole, like a Corbin Burns. You know, like, I don't know if he's that horse yet.
Ken is doubtful on Tarik Skubal's horse status. I am not myself. I am buying the horse all the way. But I'm going to move on and not fight him too hard on this one right here. I'm going to move on to a different young stud pitcher from an up-and-coming team. This guy plays for the Baltimore Orioles. I got to see him pitch last week. It was inspiring to watch. Mm. He blew me away. This is Grayson Rodriguez of Baltimore.
Don't hate that.
Now, there are a few Baltimore pitchers you can see on this list. Probably more will come up later. But Grayson Rodriguez has some off-speed stuff that is so far beyond his years, so far developed beyond his years. His changeup usually clocks in a solid 12, 13 slower than his fastball, which is super impressive. That's Pedro level. And it moves, it just moves like a wiffle ball drop where it goes straight and then it's just gone. And there's none of this, doesn't have the arc. It's just straight, all gone. He throws it up in the zone. He throws high changeups, which nobody does, except for like Giolito at his prime. That's crazy. And the fastball is elite. And he's pitching with a lot of confidence right now. He's pitching. I saw him against the Angels, and that was just, he got into a couple of jams and just gassed it up and just attacked hitters, even in the middle of jams. And that was really inspiring. So a healthy Rodriguez, I think, easy pick for a top 10 pitcher this year.
Fair enough. You're banking on some improved development from last year. It's not a terrible pick. I had him in my honorable mentions. I can't really come down hard on you here. I do like it. I like when you're trying to get in front of the train. I think it's cute. But I'm going to number 9 pitcher that you're probably not going to like too much. He's a big guy. You know, if you put the silhouette of this guy against Grayson Rodriguez, they might look similar pitching. I'm not going to lie. Like, if you didn't see anything, no uniform, long arms, you know, coming from the top, just coming down on you with a 95, maybe a little split, maybe a little curve. I think we're going to Seattle for my guy Logan Gilbert. He's a number 3 on their team. Surprised, the Mariners have a good rotation. This guy is very, very solid, and you know I like solid pitchers. He's going to give you innings. He's going to give you a 3.5-ish ERA, maybe closer to 4 in some years, maybe closer to 3 in some years, but he's got nasty stuff. I think people are underestimating this guy because he's not George Kirby or Luis Castillo, but for that rotation, this guy just posts. He's going to rack up WAR because of that, and that's why I have him comfortably in the top 10 this year.
It's just a pick of treasures with this team. With Seattle, it's just a pick of who you like best. You almost can't go wrong because you're fishing in this barrel of apples, and there's so many apples, and they're all so big and easy to catch. These guys are amazing. 4 right-handers, 5 right-handers if you count Brian Wu, who just have loaded with talent. So definitely would never criticize anyone for picking a Mariner. I'm not sure about that particular Mariner in that place, but
you don't like him because he doesn't strike that many batters out. That's probably it.
Well, his strikeout numbers are, he's almost a strikeout per inning. I think he was pretty close to Kirby last season in terms of strikeouts per
8-9 last year. Kirby 9-2. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty close. They're pretty close. For me, Gilbert's no, the issue is with the home runs. I don't like the home face? Runs. Oh. It's the home runs. I'm not crazy about the face. He does look like a dehydrated fish, but it's more about the home runs. Like he was 1.4 bombs last season. He gives up bombs. If he can control that, sure. He's given up a lot of, for what it's worth, he's given up a lot of bombs this year already, you know, 3-2 starts. So that's my concern with Logan, his home runs. But moving along, this next pick shouldn't be controversial. You probably will say it is. That's because you don't know.
Oh, boy.
And this is another ultra-talented and inspiring young pitcher who is so much fun to watch. If you haven't watched this guy pitch, tune in to his next start. You will not regret it. He's pitching for a team that may be doomed for another third or fourth place finish in their division. Ken's very high on this team. They have a lot of talent on offense. People don't talk about their pitching very much, but they have had the best, for what it's worth, they have had the objectively the most effective starting pitching so far this season in terms of ERA and innings. And that is the Kansas City Royals, and I'm talking about their stud lefty, Cole Ragans, who they got from Texas last season, 2023. Now, Cole Ragans, Ken is, I don't like how quiet you are right now. Cole Ragans throws hard. He throws hard up in the zone, and he has a solid off-speed mix of cutter, changeup, slider, and curve. It's a pretty wide arsenal for a 26-year-old. Last season, he racked up 11.2 strikeouts per nine with the Royals with a FIP of 2.49. He has shown he can get through innings effectively. He does have some issues with walks. His walk rate is higher than we would like. That might hold him back. I'm banking on Cole Ragans to make 25 excellent high-quality starts at least this season, and that should easily catapult him into the top 10. And he's a different pitcher from Skubal. They pitch differently. Ragans relies more on the off-speed stuff. He relies more on pitching inside to righties. And I'm curious to see how they're going to compare this season. But I know you want to tear this pick apart, so you can go ahead.
I'll give you... shit. All right. So my reason for being so silent is that I'm going to go to my number 8 pick. I have Cole Ragans.
What? Are you serious?
I finally cracked, and wow. I hate to admit it. I'm embarrassed. My face is turning red. I didn't want to do this, but here's the facts. Here's the facts. Okay. Well, let's give a little backstory. This offseason, where did Cole Ragans' name come up in our... Maybe we're talking about the Royals and you're talking about how one of the best pitchers or something. I don't know. He said some outlandish comment, and I bashed him for it. I said Cole Ragans is not that yet. He's a good pitcher, but we have to see something. At the time, I don't think, as the young kids call it now, I don't think I was aware of his game completely. I'm going to be honest. I don't think I was fully understanding the value of Cole Ragans. I only knew of a guy, who a reliever, who came over from the Rangers and pitched really well. But, you know, as a top starter in the AL, that wasn't in my brain. So hand up there, I'm going to be honest. Looked into it after Ollie brought up Cole Ragans. I was like, okay, Ollie knows a little bit of baseball. We know he's not fully in tune with the sport. But, you know, maybe if Ollie's bringing him up, I should take a look. Cole Ragans, bro, he's gross. He's absolutely nasty.
Thank you.
I looked into his Baseball Savant numbers, a lot of red. But the thing that, you know, popped out at me is that four-seam fastball. I've seen videos of it. He throws 99, even gets to 100, throws really hard. But that fastball is not doing too hot in terms of analytics. I know he's a great off-speed pitcher. He's got the stuff. And then I think my pick was confirmed after seeing his first two starts this year and seeing how absolutely fucking filthy this guy is. I think at some point you got to believe in the stuff and you got to put your ego aside. You know, I really don't want to, you know, be doing this with Cole Ragans in the top 10. Like, Ken, really? What am I doing, man? But I got to do it, man. Cole Ragans is in my top 10. He's like number 8. I've come around.
So excited for this. I feel vindicated. I feel refreshed. I'm proud of you. I support you. I just hope you can learn to listen to me earlier in the future. Moving on to my number 7. This is a Mariners guy we were just talking about. This is a dude who's totally at the top of all the conversations in pitching. He's many people's Cy Young pick. It's George Kirby. Maybe you thought he was going to be a top three for me. I'm putting it here at number seven, which I don't think is a knock on him, really. I think it's just a testament to who else is in the league. Kirby just blew us all away last season. He's a young guy. He's only 25 now. And he throws a wide arsenal. He throws six different pitches. He's got the splitter. He's got sinker, cutter, and four-seam, curveball, slider. And he can do it all. He can get strikeouts. He can eat up innings. Generally, he walks no one. He is allergic to the walk. He walked less than a batter per nine last season, reminding me of our dear friend, old friend Nathan Eovaldi, who is my favorite pitcher of all time. I see these guys as being somewhat similar. They're control pitchers who can throw hard and can't get strikeouts when they need to, but they're reliable and stack up innings. And now this is the year where Kirby kind of chooses who he's going to be. So he showed he's a budding ace last season. He showed himself to be a budding, you know, on the verge of being a true ace. And this year he is going to get the chance to prove that's who he is. Or if he's just a mid-rotation starter, this is the year that determines George Kirby, I think, this 26th season. And I think I see him easily making 32 starts, 190 innings again, maybe 190 Ks, ERA in the low threes, which would be good enough for a four and a half war season. And if anything, I might have had him too low. That's the only mistake I might have made. I might have had this guy too low. You know, what do you say?
That's the side I lean on. I think you might have had him too low, but, you know, fair enough. I don't know who you have above him. So I'm going to hold off on my thoughts for George Kirby until we get to my pick, because I have him higher. And for my number seven, this might cause a little bit of a debate back and forth between me and Ollie here, because this is a guy that's, you could say, he's on the decline. He hasn't been completely himself in a couple years, but this is a guy I truly believe in, because I so enjoy watching him pitch, and it's Shane Bieber for the Guardians. This is a guy that's getting later into his career. He hasn't been the ace Shane Bieber since 2022, when he was a fully healthy 200 inning pitcher, but early returns on this guy so far is pretty good. Doesn't, you know, only confirmed. I did have him on the list. I may have moved him up a little bit, a spot or two, but, you know, I'll be honest there. Shane Bieber, though, he's a guy that's cutter, sinker, fastball on the dot, on the corners, on living on the edges, relies on the knuckle curve. This is a guy that doesn't necessarily, I don't think, is going to regress too far because of his age. This is a guy that knows how to pitch, and if he can stay healthy, that's what I'm banking on. If he can stay healthy, I think he can get back to the pitcher he once was in 2022, 2021, 2020. Those 3 years were some of the best pitching we've seen in the decade. So I know you're not going to like his strikeout numbers coming down, his age, he's, you know, whatever, but I think Shane Bieber can put it back together.
So the funny thing about Shane Bieber is that for some reason, in all of our minds, we think of him as being an old dude. I don't know why. He's 28. He's a young pitcher. And yet for all of us, somehow when we think of Shane Bieber, we think of an old man, a veteran. Yeah, dude, he's 28. He's so young. Like, in our minds, we all think of him as being 34 or 33. He is so young. And that's because he's already been through so much in his career. He already won a Cy Young 4 years ago and has been through all these ups and downs of injuries that Ken talked about. But this is not a veteran. He's a veteran, but he's not, you know, a washed up pitcher at the decline of his career. Like you said, he is still has all the potential to have a huge, you know, run in his prime. I just don't know how much I believe in it. Over a full season, I think he can go on stretches where he's dominant, stretches where he runs the show that are super impressive and do inspire. But I know that this year you've already taken the early showing from Bieber very seriously, and I said I wouldn't follow you for that, and I won't. But I think if you look at the full season last season, that the WHIP was high, the strikeout numbers were too low, the hits per nine were high. There was all the signs of a guy who is transitioning into a mid-rotation pitcher from being an elite ace. And I could be wrong. And this is one pick that I may rue the day on later. And you might come back and laugh at me for this one. He's not in my top 10. He is not really even an honorable mention for me. And I may regret this big time later on. The stuff is cool. All those pitches off the corner of the plate, the slider, cutter, curveball, they're cool.
so satisfying
to watch. So cool. So satisfying to watch. The fastball doesn't get above 93 anymore. I'm not buying this. I'm not buying this vision of yours. I'm not sold. You haven't sold me on it. You haven't sold me on it. And I'm not going to change my pick based on what you've told me today. So we'll just have to wait and see how wrong or right you are. But moving on, I got my number six. Now, this is the one that's really going to be going to make me look like I'm biased and make me look like I'm just a a fan of my players as opposed to a rational thinker. Now, this is someone who...
This is someone who doesn't even believe in your picks.
Regardless of how fond I may be of him for what's happened in the past with this guy, regardless of how attached I may be to this pitcher for what he's done for me in the past,
buddy,
the fact is, this dude is far from done with what he wants to offer this league. This guy is not done. He has something left to give. And he showed that.
You called him done a couple years ago, but okay.
He showed that last season, especially in the postseason. He showed that he still has at least a couple more years of fight in him. And he has also transformed his arsenal in recent years. I know you know who I'm talking about. This is my man, former Red Sox stud, Nathan Eovaldi. This is my guy. I'm not wearing his jersey right now, but I should be. This is my guy. He's got to be on here. He has developed his arsenal. He stopped throwing the slider as much. He's improved the velo on his cutter. His splitter was filthy last season. The stuff, even though the fastball velocity, yes, has declined, the off-speed stuff has gotten better. And he was, when healthy, a dominant pitcher last season. When he was injured, it's true, he was mediocre. But when healthy, this guy had elite whip numbers. He pitched to like a 120 ERA plus. He made 25 starts, averaged nearly 6 innings per start, had a very solid FIP, FIP of 1.12, and for what it's worth, pitched 2 complete games and showed that he can totally take over and dominate a game when he wants to. You know, he was a top 10 pitcher last season, and he has it in him again, as shocking as it may sound. You know, maybe he's not 2021 Eovaldi again. But he loves to pitch in Texas, and he is good in Texas. That's his home state. It's warm. He's relaxed. He gets it done. One more year. Give me one more year of 4 WAR Eovaldi. Give me that. I'm putting money on that. I want that. No one else wants it. I want it.
All right. I mean, I commend you for being...
loyal.
loyal to your guy, and that you haven't wavered in that department. But I don't know, buddy. I mean, if Shane Bieber, Nathan Eovaldi head-to-head, who do I believe in? I think if you asked 10 competent baseball fans, I think you would get 9 Shane Bieber votes. And this is a guy who we all think is old, and he is old. He's 34, going on 35 this year. Or no, sorry, he is 34. He just turned 34. I know he's back in his home state, but this is a guy that I look at and I say, if the Rangers can get him healthy for the playoffs, he can be a big boost. Is he a guy that you can rely on for a full regular season to be still be a horse? Has he kept his horse status? I don't think so. He once was a horse. He's on the decline, though. He is on the decline. There's no... You look at his Baseball Savant. You go to his percentile rankings. Mid. You see a lot of blue. You see a lot of greenish blue, and it's not exactly what you want to see out of a top 10 pitcher. And I know he's got stuff. I love his cutter. I do love his cutter. That one pitch does float my boat. But everything around that, the curveball is not, the splitter, fastball coming down, You know, this is a solid pitcher. I think he could be a solid 3-4 back into the rotation, maybe out of the bullpen long man in the playoffs, whatever Bruce Bochy wants to do with him. And I think he's still got that dog in him. I don't know if he's got
that
horse in him.
Yes, he has that dog. Great, love that. That can be a tagline for this video. Well said. Mm-hmm. But you writing him off based on age is like meaningless, dude. I mean, you're writing him off.
Well, no.
On age, and that's
we're looking at his numbers. Ready?
No, you're saying he's 34. You're saying he's 34 and he's done. That's what your whole point was: is that 34 equals done. Basically,
I haven't seen anything that reverses that thought. So here, 2023, 25 starts. Okay. 2022, 20 starts. Excellent stuff. I just don't believe that he can keep up this stuff for a full 25 to 30 starts at age 34. I guess it is based on his age, but I haven't seen it in the past few years. I know a 3-WAR season's nothing to cough at, but I do think he's still a good pitcher. I just don't know if he's top 10, especially 6, above George Kirby, above these guys. I mean, I don't know.
Well, the placement, sure, you can fight me on the placement of where he might land, and the placement's always a crapshoot, but he belongs in this conversation. Is he even an honorable mention for you?
No.
That's crazy. That's crazy. How is he not even that? Because he totally belongs in this conversation. And you're biased against him because he's a former
Yankee. Once a Yankee, always a Yankee.
You have a bias against him with nothing to base it on over the past 4 seasons. Like, his performance over the past 4 seasons consistently above average.
When healthy. Sure, I do believe he should be in the conversation. But the last time he threw 180-plus innings, 2021 with Boston, 3.75 ERA, I don't know if he's consistently in the conversation.
How is that so different from Bieber?
Bieber, 2022. A year earlier, he's 28, as you said, even though I didn't know that. I can use that as an argument now. 6 years younger.
You thought Bieber was 34, too. You thought Bieber was 34, too.
And I'm talking about the style of pitching. The style of pitching that Bieber possesses is much more, even if they were both 34, I would believe in Bieber's pitching style over someone like Nathan Eovaldi, who relies on power, who relies on big dick energy from Texas. I don't know if you can control that at 34 with a lot of innings on your arms.
You don't know how Eovaldi pitches.
Skeptical.
You don't know how Eovaldi pitches. You don't. How does he pitch?
So this year he's throwing more splitters and fastballs, which is very interesting because I don't know. Like, his splitter's a good, like, get me off the fastball pitch. I don't know if it's a...
Ridiculous. No, the splitter is a superb swing and miss pitch. It's been his strikeout pitch for years. It's fantastic. It's one of the top run value splitters in the league. It's like 89, 90. Good on righties, good on lefties. Throws it to anyone, dude.
I think we can agree on his best pitch. I think his best pitch is his cutter.
No, it's not. The best pitch is... Well, okay. Really, the best pitch over the past 3 years cumulatively has been the curveball of any of his pitches. The curveball has been, in terms of run value, whiff rate, effectiveness, it's been the curveball. But it's one of those funny things where, yes, the curveball might numerically be, but it's only because of how it works with the other ones. So,
right.
It's not that there is a best pitch. But the cutter is definitely not the best pitch. It's good. It's been better in the past.
Let's talk about it. The backbone of his pitching style, what he needs most in order for all of those other pitches to work, is that cutter fastball combo. If he has that the splitter works off of it, the curveball works off of it, the curveball's a nice slow 75, 78 mile per hour breaker. He needs those two pitches at in his back pocket at any time. In order for the splitter to work, for the curveball to work.
That's not true. What he needs is he needs to be able to command the splitter down in the zone, command the fastball down in the zone. Because he needs to play splitter.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
You're not saying that. You're saying it's about the fastball cutter, which you're talking about fastball up and cutter away. I'm talking about fastball to knees, splitter below that. That's like bread and butter, what he's going to do well. And the curveball and cutter, open up new worlds for him, and the slider when he throws it occasionally, open up new worlds. But backbone is fastball to knees, splitter below that. And he did that superbly when healthy last season. And you're talking about this year, so I will too. He's been beautiful this year with that splitter. I watched his entire start against the Rays. It was gross. He got like 15 swings and misses on it, dude. It's a disgusting pitch. And I just don't think you really know that much about how this guy pitches.
I think I do. So let's go to 2024. Not enough data. But is fastball velo sitting at a 95? This is a guy that needs... Okay, whatever. I don't know if I feel like we're going in circles now, but I think we could, it's getting long, but
all right,
we'll see. We'll come back at the end of the year and see where Nathan Eovaldi lands. My biggest concerns, fastball velo, age, and his reliability. I don't think he can post 25 starts. So we're going to put that on the ether and put it on hold, put it on ice for a couple months and see where we are. My number 6. I'm going to a pitcher. I'm going to make this quick because this is a guy that you had a little lower on your list. It's Luis Castillo. I do believe, exact same reasons, I believe he's a great pitcher, top 10 pitcher. I don't know if he can replicate because he's been, a little inconsistent at times, but he's still a great pitcher, sinker-slider combo. That Mariners rotation is gross. Let me hear your number 5.
My number 5 is a guy. this is someone I'm taking something of a flyer on.
Oh boy, you're made of flyers.
I'm made of flyers.
You're starting to.
Now, does this guy? This guy is. I don't entirely know what to do with him. Because I'm high on him for a lot of reasons in a lot of ways, but he's not a traditional 2024 style pitcher, not a 2024 style ace.
Ooh,
because he's not a strikeout pitcher. He hasn't been. He is a ground ball, soft contact, beat the bats kind of guy. He gets a lot of pop ups. He can get a lot of ground balls, and he, you know, has shown that he can, you know, stop, prevent barrels, and really control the game. Without getting tons of strikeouts.
Sounds like I might like this pitcher, but okay, I don't know.
You do, but the thing about him you're not going to like is his sample size is still very small. It's a very small sample size, I'll give you that, but I've had a lot of success with small sample sizes in the past. This is the one you're not, you're never going to see this pick coming in a million years. I'm talking about Matt Manning of the Detroit Tigers. This is not the most prominent pitcher on this team. I'm aware of that. He's you know, a number two on this team right now. But, you know, ever since I've seen him pitch over the past two seasons in the 170 innings he's pitched, I have been so impressed by his command and by his gamesmanship and by his endurance in the face of adversity. I feel like I'm giving a motivational speech right now. And the reason is I'm trying to sell you on something you're never going to be sold on. So his most effective strikeout pitch is a sweeper, this modern pitch they call the sweeper. It comes in about 82, 83 miles an hour. It's racked up a close to a 40% whiff rate in the past. The rest of his pitches are not high whiff pitches. They're not really put away pitches. He is, like I said, a weak contact guy, and that's unusual in this game for a top pitcher. But I think the fact that he's unusual in this manner could play to his advantage this season. Even though there are no shifts, I think the fact that his approach is different from the other top pitchers in the league, this could be one of these guys, you know, like we saw with Manoa in 2022, where out of nowhere they hit these peaks, these strides. Because dude, he's you know, the ERA plus 124 last season across 78 innings against, you know, tough AL teams. WHIP was as 1.04. There are numbers that he's shown major league numbers so far. And, you know, he rocks the nice 93 four-seamer. It's not scary velocity, but it gets the job done. And now I'm afraid of what I'm going to hear from you now. But this is I'm sticking by this, man. Matt Manning, number five in the AL.
Stick by. I don't think we haven't seen, you said, small sample size. So I don't think we're at a position where I'm buying or selling. Ollie?
You there? I'm here.
Are you here? Yeah. So, Matt Manning. I don't think, as you said, small sample size. I don't think I'm at a position where I can come down hard or buy or sell. Like, I don't think this is my position yet because I don't know too much about him. Matt Manning is a guy I know. He was a high-ranking prospect for the Tigers through, I don't know, past few years. He was a top draft pick back in, like, 16, 17-ish. And I know this because he used to be a prospect card on MLB The Show. And I had him in my rotation. I used to pitch with this stuff. I don't know how accurate. I know you have some questions about MLB The Show crossover. How accurate are their pitches, pitch mix, whatever. But this reminds me. I just chuckled when you said Matt Manning because I chuckled because back in 2022, I believe, when we first did this ranking video, you had Casey Mize, top five maybe top six, seven. And so this reminded me of that. And you, is your mic disconnected? I can't hear you anymore. Maybe you turned it off. I can't hear you anymore.
Sorry, Casey Mize. Casey Mize. Okay. He got Tommy John, man. You can't put that on me.
He did. But he hasn't. We haven't seen anything like a top 10 pitcher since.
He's pitched
like probably
start.
The same amount as Matt Manning.
No, dude. Mize has pitched like one start in the past two seasons, dude. He missed all of 23.
Also, Okay. We'll leave Mize out of this because I know he has potential. He has more potential. I would probably much more rather heard Casey Mize here than Matt Manning. I saw Matt Manning start yesterday because that was like the only game on yesterday against the Mets. He was looking pretty good. I like how he pitches. I just don't know if I guess me not knowing should be a basis of argument for not having him in the top 10 of AL starters, but But we'll let it ride. I'll let you slide with this one because I don't hate the pick.
At least this is a guy whose name you know. That's kind of my benchmark. At least this is someone whose name you know for once. This is a person who you're aware of.
Are we at five?
I guess so, yeah. Number five. Go ahead, man.
Okay. I'm going with the... So this, I know because we've talked about this guy recently and you were not so high on him, but I'm going to put him in there because just out of respect for his name, okay? You might clown me for name value, whatever. Kevin Gausman, bro. He's a top three, top four AL Cy Young candidate year in and year out. I don't care that his numbers have declined a little bit over the years. He'll find a way. So these guys at the top of rotations who's been there, done that, Orioles, Giants, now with the Blue Jays, big contract. When these guys know how to pitch. They just know. They have the dog and they have the horse. Talk about horse, bro. This guy is a horse. He knows how to get out of in situations. Even with his decline stuff, they know their bodies and their stuff so well that they can work around these minor declinings in their stuff, in their repertoire. So it's a guy that's comfortably in the top 10. Comfortably.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, well, aside from your ability to correctly say the word declines, which I'll ignore for now, this is one of those things that...
Ignore.
I mean, yes, but why do...
3-4 war last year?
Why do Blue Jays pitchers... Why do Blue Jays pitchers
led the league in K per nine?
Why do Blue Jays pitchers not rack up WAR like they should? This is one I know WAR pretty well, and I believe in it 99% of the time, and it makes sense 99% of the time. But one funny case is these Rogers Center Blue Jays pitchers. So you know your boy Gausman, like you said, 185 innings last year at a 1.34 ERA plus with 2.37 Ks and a 2.97 FIP. And we only get 3.4 wins out of that. And that's surprising because I think with those numbers, if he pitched for the Sox, he'd be like a 5 WAR pitcher. On the Yankees, he'd probably be like a 4.5 WAR guy. And Rogers Center is not exactly, it did grade out as a pitcher's park last year. I guess that's maybe why this is happening, but it happened 2022 as well. Of course, he wasn't as good then. It's a funny little something about...
But...
The ambiguity of WAR there, I don't really know.
I do agree with you that I've like noticed in the past that Blue Jay pitchers don't rack up as many WAR. Like they're a little subdued. But if you look at these guys, like the top 10 pitchers from last year, you look at Kirby, you look at Luis Castillo, 14-9, their numbers are very similar, and their WAR is pretty similar. I don't think Kevin Gausman was too far behind in that department last year. Like Luis Castillo, I think their numbers match up pretty well. I know he strikes out a little less batters, but he throws more innings. ERA similar in the same ballpark. And their WAR was 3-3 and 3-4. So I don't know how far back Gausman was from, like, say, if he was a National League West pitcher or Central pitcher, he might be at, like, closer to a 4 WAR. But I have noticed in the past. Maybe we should do some research.
We'll research this. We'll get back to you viewers on the complexity of this particular WAR formula. I'll move on to my number 4. I guess you haven't mentioned this dude yet. Have we not said his name yet? I'm not sure. It's Corbin Burnes, former Cy Young winner. Just arrived at the Orioles from the Brewers. He was traded over. And he's looked gross so far this season. Not much that we haven't said about Corbin Burnes. He's really impressed me over the past two seasons because I was predicting a fall off after 2021. I thought he was going to fall off and get hurt and not be himself. But he has not gotten hurt. He's made every start, and he's made them well. He's really just been probably the top three pitcher in baseball over the past two seasons, and he's a stud. He gets strikeouts, amazing cutter, curveball's gotten better. He's that dog. He is that dog. So much dog in him. Not going to say a word against him again. Corbin Burnes, easy number 4.
Yep. And then I'm going to go to my 4. We're getting to the names where you see these guys' names at the top of top 10 lists year in and year out. Any publications you want to go to, they're probably there. I'm going to a guy from the Houston Astros, got rid of his little extension business going on. I'm going with Framber Valdez. I believe in his stuff. I believe in his ability to get ground balls when he needs it, a strikeout when he needs it. He is a dog. He opposed. I think he's a classic, solid number 2 pitcher, number 1 in some cases. And I think, I know his strikeout numbers aren't crazy, but his curveball's gross. He has that dog in him. That dog is pretty big in my calculations of coming up with this top 10. His playoff performances come into play here. But Framber Valdez, year in, year out, gets the job done.
You beat me to it. Framber Valdez is my number three. So I'm just going to go ahead and second everything Ken said. Also going to add that the sinker gets grosser and grosser every year. Sinker seems to move more each season. I don't know how that's possible. Valdez has funny slumps in seasons. He has funny collapses. He had one in July and August last year. He has moments where he just gives up tons and tons of runs. And I think that's just the mark of these sinker pitchers who throw in the strike zone. Every once in a while, they just center cut everything and get hit a lot, right? Is that what happens? These sinker guys, same thing with, you know, how Porcello was in the past. They just go on these runs where everything is center cut for a while, and then they just get whacked.
I think his sinker flattens out for a stretch or two.
Maybe that's maybe flattening out.
Put the ball in play, and then, you know, yeah.
Yeah, his cutter
sometimes
is super fun.
With sinker pitchers. Is...
Right, I guess it does. His cutter is super fun. They're calling it a slider now. I still call it a cutter. It's that funny 85, 84-mile-an-hour pitch that's, I guess, looks more like a slider, but I call it a cutter. So he's been working with that. He's still got the changeup. Sick four-pitch arsenal, and he's been so healthy. He has had no injury time lost in the past three seasons. This is a guy that we're going to be watching and talking about, I think, much of our young adult lives. He's going to be around. I predicted he's going to be a 3,000 strikeout pitcher in this the end of his career.
Whoa.
I'm not sure about that now. I think that the timeline hasn't quite worked out. He's a little older than I thought, but he might still have a shot. Yeah, Framber Valdez, my number three. Easily a nice 4 or 5 WAR pitcher.
Okay, and so it seems like me and Ollie have our 3-4 pitchers just flipped because I have, at number three, I have Corbin Burnes. And this is a guy, which I don't know how much I can add to the conversation of from what Ollie just mentioned, but Corbin Burnes is a guy who's going to post every day. I believe in that kind of pitcher. What a trade for the Orioles, man. What a trade. That was so big for this young squad to get an ace like that, who you can rely on every fifth day, who you can rely on every game one of a playoff series. Corbin Burnes, what a guy. What a trade by the Orioles. And yeah, oh, and by the way, I know you don't believe in it, but me and Isaac do. He is in a contract year, and that means something, guys. That means something.
No, it doesn't. Ken thinks it does.
For a guy, well, Ollie, for someone like you who believes in the intangibles,
that's
the
what I'm saying.
Mentality,
like,
whatever,
I believe in intangibles.
Like, why doesn't that come into play? Like, obviously,
it's not...
if your entire career earnings is on the line with this 1 year.
We're not,
obviously, they're going to be more tuned in.
A topic for a separate episode. This is a topic for a separate episode. We're going to have a
like
whole
maybe you
deep
might
dive
say, oh,
on
you
these.
You can't like, control that.
Different episode.
You can't control your outcomes based on how you feel. Yeah, you can. These guys are dogs. Maybe you can. Maybe that's the reason why pitchers pitch better in playoff situations and high leverage situations than others. They got that dog in them. The dog, it comes out when they need it most, and they need it when, you know, his contract could end up being $250 million. Or, you know, you could be a dud. You could get $50 million bank on it. Like, he could revive his career type contract. Like, that's significant.
Cool.
But I guess different conversation.
I guess you're
all
a
right.
Different conversation.
Top
so now
two.
We're going to do our top two. And we're going to do it a little differently this episode. So I'm going to do my top two back to back. Just because I consider them basically, at this point in the list, this is just, you know, whoever could be number one. I'm going to do my top two back to back. But I want you to guess who I have first before I say them. And guess the order I have them in.
Ooh. Who have you not said? You haven't said Gausman. You haven't said a Pablo Lopez. You haven't said Chris Bassett, but I don't believe in that. You haven't said Joe Ryan. Maybe you like Joe Ryan. But I don't know. I really don't know. Am I around it? Am I near it?
Say two names and see if you're right.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go Joe Ryan and Pablo Lopez.
You got one. You got one. You forgot about someone I didn't say earlier, who you said earlier, who I've been saying.
Oh.
So what I have is Pablo Lopez at two and Tarek Skubal at number one. So you two
central
guys.
Oh, fuck.
Guys.
I forgot. Oh,
that
was such
Skubal.
A layup. That was
that
such
was
a
layup.
That was your Cy Young
Skubal.
Pick.
Yeah. I, of course, had Lopez number two, Pablo, a guy I've been so into ever since he pitched for the Marlins back in 2021. I was lucky to see one of his early starts in MLB in person. Not his early ones, but one of his early ones. And he got to pitch in the playoffs for the first time last season. So exciting. Racked up innings, 234 strikeouts. How fun is that? My boy Pablo Lopez, little Marlins dude in the AL, you know, top 10 pitcher, so many Ks, 10.9 strikeouts per nine. So much fun to see him at this level. Concerns with him are just giving up too many hits and people putting together rallies against him. He's a victim of rallies at times. He gets stuck in jams and base load situations. Those spiral out of control. He's vulnerable to the big inning. So I'm banking on him overcoming that this season, overcoming that big inning struggle, because the stuff is totally Cy Young caliber. The acumen is Cy Young caliber. I can see him having a huge breakout this year and being a 5-6 WAR pitcher, 200 innings, tons of strikeouts, and easily fighting for a Cy Young. I'm high on Pablo, buying in big time. And at number one, yeah, Tarek Skubal. This dude, you talked about him a lot early on. We saw him go on an amazing run in 2022 until June, where it sort of fell off. I remember he had a start against the Red Sox that actually turned him in the wrong direction that 2022 year. But other than that, dude was a stud. And he throws so hard, 98, 99, up in the zone. Super good changeup, good breaking ball. He's like my Manoah or my McKenzie from 2 years ago. Skubal is just primed for a breakout. He seems hungry. He seems just fiery on the mound. He's cursing himself, yelling. I watched his start yesterday. He was fiery, even though things didn't go super well. And that's a great sign. So Skubal is going to be my number one, my Cy Young pick. Banking on him.
Fair
that's
enough.
That's what I'm saying. And now we got to move to your
Now
two
I want
one.
You to guess my 2-1.
Yes,
and one.
And I will.
And...
Well, there's one. I know one of the guys because you haven't said them so far. One of them is easy. The other one is not so easy because there's no one. There isn't anybody that I've said that you still save unless it's also Lopez. Something tells me you don't have Lopez on the list this year, surprisingly. So who else could it be? It probably won't be a Yankee. Definitely won't be a Red Sox. Could it be another Jays? Could it be a Barrios? Or no. Could it be a Rays pitcher? Mm-hmm. Zach Eflin? No. Could it be Tanner Bibee, your boy from the... No. Bailey Ober? No. I'm digging deep.
I did have Bibby in my honorable mentions. I did want to shout
Bibby's
him out.
Bibby's fun. We like Bibby. No one takes him seriously, but he's fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me think for 1 second. I know it won't be an Angels pitcher. It won't be a... A's or there's no Rangers pitchers you like. The list is kind of narrow right now. Unless
go with your gut.
Unless you're bringing back Brady Singer, you won't do that.
He's looked good this year. He's looked yes. good this year.
I picked him up. He's been fun.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. Full circle moment.
I think that right now. You're probably going Pablo Lopez 2 and Kirby 1. Am I right?
And Ollie, this is why you're my partner in crime. Ollie knows me way too well, much too well. That is my 2-1 pick. I have Pablo Lopez at 2. I have George Kirby at 1. George Kirby, first of all, was my Cy Young pick, so I'm going to have him at number 1. I think he's going to break out. He's shown flashes, maybe more than flashes. And I think he's going to put it all together. Pablo Lopez, another guy who's just absolutely solid. Solid across the board. What an arm. What a guy. What a repertoire of stuff he has. I don't know too much about him. So this may be... No. Stop. Here's what I'm going to say. Maybe I'm super off base with Pablo Lopez here.
I don't know too much about him. This guy is crazy, man. This guy is the best. Oh, dude. This is my boy right here. I don't know the first thing about him, but everybody, this guy Lopez, this guy says he's crazy.
Sinker slider combo. He's got a big breaker too. Let me break it down for you guys. Pablo Lopez.
Not watching too many of his starts.
I've tuned into his playoff starts, big starts obviously, but not being in tune with every start, all his pitches obviously, as you may have noticed by now. But I think this is a guy that in Miami he showed flashes of absolute dominance. but he hadn't really harnessed it completely. Last year, I think he put it all together. Looking at his numbers, haven't seen too many of his starts. This is the perspective I have. I think he's a guy who's harnessed his stuff finally at age probably 29, 30-ish.
He's been harnessing it for years. Well, did you not watch him when he was with the Marlins, dude? Did you not see any of those Marlins starts in like 2021?
Oh, of course, of course.
You didn't see any of them.
I said he has shown flashes, but he's a guy who what I like to see is 32 starts in 2022, 32 starts in 2023, ERA plus above 100, above league average since 2020. This is a guy who's coming into his 29 season. What did I say? I was right. This is a guy that the Yankees targeted, so obviously I'm interested. And 234 strikeouts. That's a number two pitcher for me, so we'll leave it there.
You're so funny.
How'd you like my Pablo Lopez analysis?
He picked Lopez after he heard me talk about him, and he still
is false. That is false. I had Pablo Lopez at two because I believe in him. I'll show you my edits on the doc. I'm telling you, I had him in number two. Wasn't sure.
I'm kind of surprised. Ken does not. I thought you would have followed. I thought you would have liked Lopez, but Ken does not follow Lopez. So he did get all of his pitches wrong, just for what it's worth. He doesn't throw a sinker. He throws a four seamer and a sweeper and changeup, but that's fine. You know, it's whatever. He throws a sinker like 10% of the time. That's cool. You're not totally wrong, but. It's one of these. He maybe used some MLB The Show once in a while, but finally you're as high on this guy as I am. So some credit where it's due on that one. And I guess
2023.
I guess Kirby, we've talked about
10.6%. 10% sinker. That's a legitimate.
You called him a sinker slider, which is ridiculous.
Okay, sweeper, fastball. Sweeper.
Dude, look at his his percentile for 2023. Oh my gosh,
yeah,
that's a lot
gross.
Of red.
34, 21, 21. No, but look at his pitch mix. This is what I like to see. A guy who has five pitches, who is a legitimate five pitch mix. Who
look at all that
when
red?
When you throw
dude.
Double digit percentage,
look at all that red.
Yep, number
that
two
is
pitch.
Nice.
I mean, this is a lot of red. I'm seeing.
It's a lot of red. This dude is underrated. Oh, underrated still.
But look, 2022, not too much red. This is what I'm saying. He hadn't harnessed it fully. 2021, a lot of red, but, you know, still coming into his own. 2020, not a lot of red. Breaking run value, not so high. Maybe he worked on a sweeper. 2023, he put it together. I ain't lying.
You guys can't see this, but Ken and I had the exact same screen on our computer. We're both looking at the same Baseball Savant page and doing that thing.
I ain't lying.
With the pause button where it runs, we're doing the exact same thing right now, which is hilarious.
Yes, sir.
And Kirby, we've talked about a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
Do you have projections for Kirby for this year?
I mean, you want me to say it?
Yeah, just your numbers for Kirby this year.
It might be a little gross.
Go ahead, say it.
Okay, so I have him throwing 188 innings. Is that too much for Kirby? Maybe, but he's a guy who can do it. He's a young pitcher coming into the year three. Like, obviously, he can throw 188 innings. Through 190 last year. I have him going, you know, record doesn't matter, but, you know, pitchers still care about that. I think pitchers care more about their record than we fans do. And I think he's going to, Mariners, solid team, I think he's going to go 15 wins. Probably lead the league with 15 wins. Surprise. And he's going to have like 7 losses. Not too important there. We're going to get to his numbers. I think this is a guy who's going to strike out a ton of batters this year. I know he hasn't struck out a ton of batters in the past. But you've seen where young pitchers, their strikeout numbers start ticking up when they get into their prime. I think he's going to strike out a nice, cool 191 batters. Doesn't get to that 200 mark, but he's throwing a lot of innings. I think he can strike out around a batter per inning. I think his ERA will sit right around a, you know, I think he's going to have a big year. 284. How about that? 284 ERA for a guy in the American League. Cy Young winner, 15-7. 284, 191 innings, 191 strikeouts. George Kirby, my guy, with 100. He's gonna have like 100. What did I say? 284 ERA. That's gonna put him at like 134 ERA plus. Lead the league in WHIP. Lead the league in walks per nine. This is a guy who, what? He did put it together. I did say he put it together last year.
This is a guy that has another extra gear above that. I love listening to you just make up numbers out of nowhere, out of your mind. I just love listening to you just pull out numbers. Pull out 191, 188, 130, you're just totally just grabbing numbers over. He's like, yeah, this is actually like he said, he's all written down before.
This fits.
He's thinking, 284, sure, this is great. This is classic.
A war? You want to ask about war? Ask me about war. What's gonna be his war? A 5-1 Cy Young candidate. Cy Young lockdown.
You and your numbers, man. You are so funny, dude. Ken just
baby,
loves...
let's go. Let's go.
Ken is
I'm not too far off, am I?
For just grabbing numbers out of nowhere. I agree with the numbers. It's just funny how you say them like you've thought about them for weeks and really you're just making them up on the spot. 24 sure. So I actually did have written down projections for all these guys, and mine for Kirby were similar. I had 32 starts, 201 and 2/3 innings. I have him cracking that mark. 219 Ks. I think he'll be above a 9 Ks per 9.
Oh, wow.
Dude. Yep. I had him at 3.06 ERA for like a 132 ERA plus and racking about a 4.
I had a 134 ERA plus. So
similar. About a 4.7 WAR. 4.7 WAR for Kirby. So we're actually pretty much in line. But
maybe
the difference between us is that we have different rankings for the other guys in the list, and that's why he might be in a different spot. I think Skubal could be a 7 WAR pitcher this year. I think Lopez could too.
Here's a thought. So I did think about, you would have probably bashed me for this, but I thought about it. Probably thought more than I should have of putting Gerrit Cole in this top 10 list.
Mm.
Because I believe he's going to come back June 1st. And with the guy we're dealing with here, this is a guy who can start racking up war like no others. And maybe he gets to a 3 mark, maybe he gets to a 4 mark. I mean, look at his numbers from last year. You can't say he can't get the 3-4 WAR in, June, July, August, September, 4 months? Yeah, mm-hmm. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
He can go on that type of run, but I guess we didn't have Justin Verlander. Maybe his times are over. There's some names he...
I bet we're both going to regret the Verlander
thing. I thought...
We're going to regret
Verlander. Yeah, probably. I thought you might have Joe Ryan in there. Was I off base there?
No, he was honorable mention for sure. He was honorable. He's okay. funny, gives up a lot of runs sometimes. That's what held me back.
Yeah.
Gives up a lot of runs.
I was going to come in hard on a Joe Ryan pick because I'm not too high on it.
Gives a lot of home runs and a lot of runs. That's what I'm not so on that camp. But maybe he's, six strikeout to walk ratio. It's pretty cool. Tons of Ks. We might regret the Joe Ryan at the end of the season. Threw a shutout against the Sox last season, famously.
What about Isaac's guy, Pablo Sandoval?
Patrick Sandoval.
Pablo Sandoval. He retired, by the way.
Former,
he got his final
Former third baseman
call.
For the Giants and the Sox, and Ken confuses him with the Angels Patrick lefty, Sandoval. Patrick Sandoval, which is hilarious. You're thinking of Lopez and of Sandoval. Patrick Sandoval, he's gotten kind of creamy this year. I thought he did a couple years ago, and I think maybe I was wrong. I was really high on him in 2022, and I think I was just he's just kind of an Angels. Got the Angels curse, Angels pitching curse. He'll be mid.
Maybe Chris Bassett got a little disrespected in our video.
Yeah, we do disrespect Bassett a lot. We do. That's not fair.
That's really not fair.
Why are we always so low on Bassett? It's not fair. Bassett's wonderful. He's a sweet man, really kind guy, and really fun to watch pitch. If you're watching this, Chris, it's not personal. We just love Pablo Lopez a lot, and
it feels a little personal. The numbers he's put up are absolutely fucking filthy.
Yeah, he doesn't rack up the WAR though for some reason. I don't really know why. He doesn't really rack that up. Blue Jays curse. Can someone, some Blue Jays fan watching who like studies WAR, explain to us this phenomenon with pitchers and the wins? We want to know because we don't get it.
How? Yeah, like look at his numbers. How does that rack up to 2.5?
We don't get this. We need someone to come in and give us a full breakdown.
I think we should contact Pitching Ninja.
Yeah, like unless he's only beating the weakest teams in the league, and he just. If like his situational numbers must be terrible, but they're not, so I don't get it.
I need to look at the CWP.
Well, how good is the Blue Jays defense? Last year was it? Actually, it was pretty good. It was pretty good last year, right?
Last year they improved. I know that. That was a storyline. They put Kiermaier in center.
Right.
Matt Chapman was at third.
That can
they
be
put Varsho in left.
That can be a big factor. How good defense is.
Moved Springer over to right. What else did they do? I mean, but. Bichette, by the way, this is a different, totally different conversation. Mm-hmm. We should probably end the episode, but Bichette needs to move off the shortstop, go to second base.
Mm-hmm.
Just, that's it. not a shortstop, man.
Dude, I mean, last year Bassett had really good starts against. I mean, he shut out the Braves. He went that 8-inning game against Houston. I mean, he dealing against the Rays a couple times. He had good starts against good teams. I don't really get it.
We need to talk to a Blue Jays fan immediately. We have discovered.
Please come in and help us out. Explain this discrepancy.
Yeah. All right. Should we call it?
Yes, sir.
That wraps it up with our annual. That took 2.5 weeks for us to get there, but we finally did it. 2024 AL and NL top 10 pitcher lists, predictions of WAR for the year, and see who wins this year. I think we're 1-1. Like, technically, it's 1-1. We've both been off, so we both hope to see our guys nominated in the top 10 next year or this year at the end of this year. So, what's important is how many guys we get in the list, not exactly the placements, because placements, as Ollie said, is very fluctuates. So, yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Probably another video out soon enough. And I know you guys will miss us, but we'll be back. Peace out, boys.